Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 75th Venice International Film Festival. Specifically, we're going to be talking about a film from the Giornate degli Autori with the director, Herman Vasca. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
So you're presenting a film here called Why Are We Creative? This is a film... Well, first of all, why don't we tell our listeners who may not be familiar with it yet, because it's premiering here. Yeah. Could you maybe introduce it for them?
Yeah, it is a journey that started 30 years ago with me filming, fascinating creative people from the different creative disciplines. A lot of filmmakers, a lot of directors, actresses, actors, architects, artists, performance artists, you name them, you know, from all the creative disciplines. It's basically about their creative drive, you know, what is the motor that of their creativity. And it started when I was studying at the University of the Arts in Berlin, and from there I went to London, and London at the time was the 80s, early 80s punk,
and good music,
The Clash, Joy Division, and all that stuff, and that set me into another set of rules, you know, and like I said in the film, all in a sudden, stuff that wasn't accessible seemed accessible, you know, and you could ask things you were afraid to ask before. So it kind of lifted me out of myself.
Right.
Yeah, and I worked at Saatchi at the time, and my mentor was the creative director, Paul Arden, and he was a big inspiration as a mentor. Mm. And I can remember one summer we met in all in Sussex in his country house, and we're sitting around a campfire, and we were talking about why are we doing what we're doing. And it's the truth. I looked at the starry sky, and this funny question came to me, this simple question, which never let me go, which became a kind of obsession, mm-hmm. which became a constant in my life. Wherever I was doing a project about, let's say, art with Dennis Hopper, about football with John Cleese, this was a constant. And so I immense quite a big archive, you know, an enormous archive of answers and conversations. And so the simple question brought me in contact with some of the leading creatives of our time.
Yeah. Do you still ask yourself that question, why it is that you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah, what is a more meaningful philosophical question than the question about the meaning of life? So this question is endless. This question is, in a way, eternal. And it feels, you may sound pompous, but that you're part of something bigger than yourself. It's like when I interviewed Björk once, you know, it's saying in a conversation between you and me, that all of a sudden we both are not so important, but what we talk about is much more important than the both of us, you know. And when you reach these kind of magic moments, as she called it, that's something which is really, yeah, almost spiritual, yeah. You know. So, these are moments that are not replaceable, you know. Right. So this question goes on, but also the question, which is a new project, why are we not creative? Because as a dialectical synthesis of the opposite. So
yeah.
When you know where the enemy stands, you know, we can probably avoid those killers on the road.
Having said that, though, in some moments, it must have been a little surprising for the people you were interviewing to hear that question. I think you can see it in some instances in the film. It's just a question that you don't generally get asked.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, like Wim Wenders put it, once hardly anybody dares to ask these basic questions anymore, but Herman dared to do this. In other words, me. So, confronting that with almost naivety, it comes to really surprising answers. You know.
Yeah, but why do you think it's not a question that is asked? Because sometimes I interview a lot of people. Yeah. I sometimes feel like that I have to ask certain questions, yeah. And they're not necessarily the questions that I would like to ask, really,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the reasons is what Michael Haneke said to me, that the question, in a way, is fatal. For creative people, is because why was Mahler being afraid to be analyzed by Freud? Because he said he may lose his creativity. That's what he said. So, and this brings me to the subtitle of this film, which is called The Centipede's Dilemma.
Yeah.
So if the centipede walks, and this is also a sociological, psychological thing from Popper's time onwards, I think. If you ask him how he is... walking and why he is walking, the moment he thinks, he stumbles and falls flat on his face. So it could be fatal.
What, so does that mean that it's sort of a lie in a sense? Creativity can also be a lie. I'm not sure if I'm...
No, that's not what I mean. But some people are just avoiding to think about it because as a phenomenon, there was this famous pianist or cellist or violinist saying how he played this certain passage of some classical tune and thinking it and repeating. They may not be able to recreate it.
I understand.
Over-intellectualizing.
I think I understand.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, that's the difficult part of being creative in a way. It's like not following the rules most of the time.
Yeah, you need to know the rules to break them, as you know. But that is a very important part, you know. Because if you ask me what is a common thought or the lowest common denominators of all that what is in the film and what is in the archive, it's basically I am who I am and I'm not afraid to be different. And you could also say, and I don't ask for approval. You know, many of them don't ask for approval. They just do it, you know. I mean, I like to refer to the anecdote of what Damien Hirst said, you know, being asked one of the journalists by the BBC about one of his artworks about how he was doing that, you know, and he said, I could have done that, the journalist said, and then Damien says famously, well, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So the difference between so-called creative people and so-called non-creative people is in a way that creative people just do it. In a way, it's also betraying the idea to have it sitting on a shelf, you know, isn't it? You know. So what I think and what would be good is about the simple question is it forces you to think about your own creativity.
Yeah.
And if you go here's some answers. There also is an archive of written answers or writings and drawings, and some of them are here.
Yeah.
And at the moment, there's also a big exhibition in Frankfurt simultaneously with 400 of the artworks. And if you go through this exhibition, you can also make your own theories about creativities and come up with your own answers.
There's so many things that I could ask you, but I think we only have time for one more question. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I could ask you about creativity, but I also want to know about the creativity involved in the making of a film that took years to make, decades to make.
That is indeed a creative challenge, you know, because you have tons of formats from micro cassettes to mini DVs to beta SPs or digibetas or beta cams or 16 millimeters, 35 millimeters, and the newer digital formats. And to bring this all onto one level is a big challenge. You know, how can you possibly make a narrative out of that makes sense?
Yeah.
And how did we do it? Because it was basically structured by chapters, you know, because there are some chapters of creative stimuli, whether it's, you know, fear, like David Lynch, for instance, or whether it's obsession, like Joji Yamamoto. I call it destiny, or spirituality, or sexuality, and all of that. That was put into a journey and a narrative, and instead of having, let's say, an actor like Dennis Hopper or John Cleese telling this story, in this case, we decided it's the best that I tell the story myself. Mm. And how did we do it? I saw Michel Gondry's film as a man who is tall, happy. It's a Noam Chomsky thing, which I enjoyed very much. And I contacted Valerie Pearson, who did the animations for it, and in Paris, and I confronted her with the idea. And, you know, we had some ideas. I had some ideas. She had some ideas. Mm-hmm. And so these animations are a very important factor here, and also the editing, which Marie-Charlotte Moreau did, also from Paris, and to turn this into this enormous mess of material into a film. And also the music, Theo Theado and Blixer Bargeld from Einstürzen in Neubauten, is also a unifying element in order to pull that off. So I had very good collaborators in that sense.
That's fascinating. So that's all the time we have, unfortunately. But I want to thank you very much for the conversation. It was fascinating. Thanks a lot.
Pleasure. Have a good time.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.